the service tonight. Now, I said this morning that I want to help with Faith Promise, what it is. I won't get it all covered, but I'm going to just try to hit enough points to help you that's never been involved in it to kind of understand it. If you have any questions, please feel free to come to me and ask me concerning this. And Faith Promise is just like tithing. You've got your pros and you've got your cons. You got those that'll say it's biblical. You've got some that'll say it's not biblical. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on the receiving side. I've been on the giving side. And I've tried faith, or I've tried mission giving in different ways, and nothing has helped or seemed to work as much as Faith Promise does. Now, let me say this about Faith Promise. Faith Promise is not a pledge. You are not pledging to give. Now, if we have a pledge, we're going to give you a piece of paper, and you're going to put your name on that piece of paper. And on that, with your name, you're going to put down the amount of money that you pledge to give. A pledge is more like a contract. A faith promise is not anything to me or to the church. Faith promise is something between you and God only. As you pray about it, God will lay upon your heart what God wants you to give. And then it becomes between you and God. If God does not provide it, you're not obligated to give it. And let me say this. I do not believe in prosperity giving. I do not believe God's going to bless you and repay everything that you give to God. I am not a prosperity preacher. Now, I do believe God honors faithfulness. And I'll give this as an example. And this is not to embarrass Dakota or Nikki, but Dakota had a motor put in his truck a couple months ago. Today, the truck broke down in Jasper. We think that it may have blown a spark plug out. We're not sure. The motor's under warranty. That's one good thing. But Dakota asked me a question. He said, "Why did God let this happen when I tithe?" Now, let me tell you something. Tithing and faith promise and sacrificial giving does not eliminate you from having storms in your life or problems. It's just like salvation. I mean, there's some preach salvation, you get saved, all your problems are gone. Well, if that's true, I'm on my way to hell. You say, "What do you mean?" I know I'm saved, but I know my life still has problems. I still have setbacks. I still have things that happen in my life, and I cannot explain it. I mean, God does works in our life that we don't understand, and we may never understand them. But I know this. I have made this statement. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this. No, I'm not. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be glad I got there, and I'm going to enjoy everything that I have. But what I'm saying is this. Don't let the devil make you believe that if you are saved or you tithe or you give to Faith Promise or you give sacrificial offerings, you give special offerings, that God's going to wipe your life full of problems. Wipe them out. It's not going to happen. When we give out of obedience. When we give out of trust. And that's why we call it faith promise giving. The promise is not between you and the church. It's not between you and the preacher. It's between you and God. I've said this before, let me say it again. If you pray and God lays upon your heart an amount, and there comes a week and you don't have that amount, you'll not be questioned about it. You'll not be done for it. And you shouldn't feel guilty about it, because if God doesn't provide it, you're not obligated to give it. Now, I believe in tithing And I'm going to deal with tithing probably in the next few weeks. But I am not one that's going to tell you if you tithe, God's going to just bless you abundantly. And God's going to give you back 1,000 times what you give. That's not scriptural. But I'm not going to tell you this either, that if you don't tithe, that God's going to strip you of everything. There's a difference in Christian giving and law giving. Under the law, it was a divine requirement. Under Christianity, Christian giving is a grace. In contrast to the law, which is imposed giving as a divine requirement, Christian giving is voluntary and a test of sincerity and love. You know why I give? I give, number one, because I know the Bible teaches it. I give, number two, because I love God. And I give that the work of God may prosper. People say, but tithing is not New Testament. I'll prove you wrong when we study tithing. Give you something to think about. Abraham tithed, and Abraham wasn't under the law. Faith promise giving is something that has come together as a way of giving to missions. Why do we do it? That we might get the gospel to the world. We have missionaries come and we make a promise to them. We say, by the grace of God, we're going to support you or give you so much a month. If we don't have something to build that around, how can we do it? I would hate to have 15 missionary families come through and we say, we're going to give you X amount of dollars a month, and we don't have it coming in. That's not faith, that's foolishness. Why do I believe in tithing? The tithe is what you operate the church on. What keeps these lights turned on? What keeps this building cool? What pays our water bill? It's not that 25 cents a week or that 50 cents a week or that $2 a week. It's people that are believing God and believing the Word of God, and they're giving to make sure that the church is supported to the place that it can operate. And so that's why I believe in biblical giving. Now let me say this to you about faith promise. If you choose to be involved in it, this is what will happen. If you choose not to be involved in it, it's still going to go right on anyway. Now I wish that I felt like in my heart that everybody was going to be involved in Faith Promise, but I wasn't born yesterday, and I know there are going to be some that don't get involved in it. They will tell you that we ought to give to missions. They'll tell you that missionaries are important and missions is important, but they're not involved in supporting it. And so I have a problem believing in a burden for missions and not being involved in missions. But when we have our Faith Promise conference, these will be laid up here on the wall. You by choice. Remember I said Christian giving is voluntary. It's not a requirement. You will get a piece of paper like this, and it simply says Faith Promise giving, weekly or monthly. And you will write your amount in there. And at the bottom it said, I am giving to send the gospel to all people. You will not find anywhere on there to put your name. Do not put your name on this. I don't want to know it. And all we will do, we'll take those and we will add them up and we'll see how much our mission giving is by the month. And then we will make our determination at that time whether we can take on any additional missionaries or whether we can raise some of the support that we're now giving or whether we cannot. And that's what faith promise is. It's not a pledge. I have no idea when we get these who it is or how much. Now, somebody did ask me the question today. Said, when we do this faith promise, do we that are already giving, do we need to fill out one of these? Yes. God may, depending on your financial situation, God may have you lower what you're already giving. He may have you raise what you're giving. He may have you remain at the same level that you're already giving. That's between you and God. Don't come to me and say, preacher, I'm doing this or this or this. I don't need to know, and I'd rather not know. But I will guarantee you this. I'm not asking you to pray about anything that I'm not already praying about, and that my wife and I, we will be involved in it. We have been involved in it. We will continue to be involved in it. And again, if you don't, that's your choice. But when I am involved in it, I can say, those are my missionaries. I can rejoice when God does a work there. And so I'm personally involved in it. And I know, as I said, from both sides, and they're not, I'm not going to say there's not any, but I'm going to say the majority of missionaries are not getting rich. They're getting income to do their work with, support their family, and pay their bills, just like me and you. And so that's why we do it. Now, if you will remember a few years ago, disbanded our mission program for about 2 months. Why? Because we didn't have the money coming in. Now, we operated our mission giving through a little bit of faith promise and a whole lot of general offering. And we got to where we couldn't hardly pay our bills or was very low. And so we did away with our mission program for a couple months. And I had a family come to me and say, preacher, if you will start the mission program back, we will give this much money. I know who they are. You don't know who they are. But that same couple came to me a few months ago and said, when are we going to have another faith promise conference, another time to give in faith promise? And I said, very, very soon. They said, we want to raise ours. I didn't tell them to do it. They chose to do it. But I want this understood. It is not a pledge. You will never, never, never be questioned if you gave it or didn't give it. Now, we do provide envelopes for Faith Promise missions. And the only reason we do that is because it is tax deductible. And there's some people that at the end of the year, they want a amount that they've given so that they can deduct it from their taxes. You say, is that correct? I say it is. It's one of the few deductions you got left. The government's taking everything else anyway. So we do that. That's the only reason we keep those records. And so with that made clear, and hopefully you understand this, it is not a pledge. Brother Buck will not come to you and say, you didn't give your faith promise today, because he don't know who did or didn't. And some give weekly, some give monthly, some give bi-weekly. I've even had people give it by year. I guess you'd say yearly. They just give it one lump sum. But it helps us to set up a mission budget. Just like with our church. We know what we have to have coming in, And because God has blessed us and we no longer owe anything as far as a bank note, God has blessed us and our amount of money monthly is growing. We have a building fund. We're going to start taking some out of general fund and putting in building fund. But just as I ask of you, or offer you the opportunity to give to Faith Promise, we, out of our general fund, are going to take a certain amount from the church, and the church general fund is also going to be giving to missions. That's biblical. And that way we can help the missionaries that God lays on our heart and be able to do it and still continue. Just like our missions conference coming up. You think that mission conference is going to be free? No. Why? Because I don't expect those men to come and preach for us and not be given an offering. And so there's a cost to any time you send the gospel out, whether you send it out here in our local church or you send it out to the world, there is a cost to getting the gospel out. And to be able to do that, there's got to be money coming in, just like at your house. If you don't have money coming in, you don't have any money to go out. Same thing with the church. And so it's all about faith. And the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so that's where we're at in Faith Promise. Now, two chapters that we use in the word of God, and again, there's controversy here. I've been in this long enough to know. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I will state this. I know that chapter 8 is dealing here. Paul's talking to some churches about helping believers that are in need. Well, let me tell you. We've got believers carrying the gospel to the regions beyond that are in need. They're needing support to be able to go and preach the gospel. We rejoice over when we get to report that people have been saved. I mean, I encourage you. We move the prayer letters over here so you can read them. I encourage you to read them. We get a prayer letter. We ask every missionary that we help to send us a prayer letter at least quarterly, three or four times a year. And in that letter, they'll state what God is doing. Some will state some needs that they have. Some won't. That, again, it depends on the missionary. But it's a blessing to read those and see what God's doing and then be able to say, I have a personal part in that. Let me read a couple of these to you. Here is one we support, the Tolibas. They're in the Philippines. He said, with grateful heart, we're writing to you to give you an update with our ministry here in the Philippines. Thank you so much for your financial support and consistently praying for us. This year, 2017, we completed our 8th year as a missionary to serve to our two churches planning work. And as you can imagine, we have seen many changes in this country for the past few years in spite of all of the needs and tragedies, natural and spiritually. God has done a great work and raised a strong church throughout the area. And your church has a part on the souls that are getting saved. We are most grateful as well that we were privileged to have had a small part in it. Thank you so much for your sacrifice and love to the Word of God. I remember an old quote from a great man of God named James Hudson Taylor. He said, God's work is done in God's way, never lacking God's supply. Let us continue to further God's work in missions to spread the gospel, because it won't be long. Jesus will be coming soon. Let us keep on the firing line. And he lists prayer requests here. Please pray for 5 new Bible students that will go to Bible college for missionary training. We are raising $395 for each of them this coming year for their tuition. If you can be of help of any amount, we would appreciate it. See, there's needs there. Now, we've not been able to send additionally to a man like that because we're operating on a shoestring budget. Our budget is $450 a month that we give to missions. And some months we have 450 come in, and some months we don't have 450 coming in. So I'm not going to obligate us to send $395 for three of them or five of them or one of them because we don't have it. And so there is. Here's another. Our last missionary we took on, Brother Corpos, he said the New Life Independent Baptist Church are so thankful for your prayers and supporting God's ministry here in the Philippines. Month of April, we held our daily vacation Bible school for children right after our provincial family camp meeting, and God bless these ministries. And you can go on and on and on reading about these and the needs they have. Here's one in Africa and the way God's blessing in the camps. Here's one in Haiti. I mean, how they reaching? They can't work and do that. And so what they depend on churches, and there may be some churches large enough that can say, okay, we're going to set aside a designated amount of money for missions. We're not there. And so we use faith promise. But again, it's not a pledge. And it's not a promise between you and the church. It's not a promise between you and the preacher. It's between you and God. And if God doesn't provide, don't feel guilty. Because when you pray and sincerely pray and find out what God wants you to give, I can guarantee you by personal experience that God has always provided. God's not going to ask more of you than you're able to do. Notice some verses here. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. God gave everything that he had when he gave his son. Why did he give the Lord Jesus? That people might be saved. Let me give you a verse. You all know this verse. It said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's for an outreach. The verse we used was simply this: awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the gift of God. I speak this to your shame. How are they going to get it? By preachers. How are preachers going to go? By other Christians giving. But it's all about faith. But God's not going to ask you for any more than God knows you're capable of doing. The question comes down, are you willing to be obedient? Again, not obedient to me, not obedient to the church, obedient to God. He said there, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I'm not asking you to go out on a limb and make some large promise that you know you can't perform. That's why I said the other day in the men's meeting, we have this meeting, we'll find out. We'll add together and see what people say they'll give. We will not act upon that for at least the first 60 days. You know why? Some people get caught up in emotion. And then in 60 days, that money's not coming in. I would rather not ever promise a missionary help than to promise him to not be able to do it. And so he said here that God's not going to expect some of you that you don't have. He said, I meant not that the other man be eased and you be burdened. See, everybody wants to rejoice over missions. Everybody wants to get excited about what God's doing on the mission field. We rejoice over souls being saved. but we're not carrying part of the burden. We're not carrying part of the burden of helping. You don't know how many missionary calls I get that I have to tell them, we don't have any money and there's no need of you coming. If they say, well, I want to come and just present the burden, I'll tell them we'll give them a love offering. And later down the road, if able, we'll help them if God leads. But again, I've been there. I know what they're going through. But let me say this. As I said, faith promises between you and God. I am not here tonight to make you feel guilty. I'm not here to put a grudge there. And I'm not here to have you give. If you're going to give to Faith Promise and you're going to grudge what you give, listen to me very seriously, not to be ugly. But if you're grudgingly giving, keep it. Keep it in your pocket. I don't want it, and God don't want it. If you're giving because I make you feel guilty, keep it in your pocket. Because notice what the Bible said. Read, and I tell you that, you're not going to get a blessing for it. But he said, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I am not preaching a prosperity message. I am not going to stand here and say to you, if you give $10, Cody, give me this $10. I'm not giving to you to keep. Give it back to me. I'm not telling you God's going to do that this week. That's not scriptural. I will tell you this. God will meet your needs. God will take care of you. And God's going to take care of a lot of you in spite of your stubbornness. But he's not going to do that. But he said if you give bountifully, that God is going to bless you, or you're going to reap. God's going to take care of you. I'm going to make a statement here. I don't tithe for blessing. I tithe because of obedience. But yet, God, in spite of who I am, blesses me tremendously. We got one of the greatest blessings this week that I believe I've ever received since I started preaching. If I can get through this. I got a phone message this week from a certain person, and they said in that phone message, I've never done this before, and it may seem silly, but said, I feel like you and Brenda are going through a burden. And you don't have to call me back. And that person didn't ask me what it was. That person just said, I'm praying for you. That to me is better than if you'd have given me $10,000. Why? Because somebody prayed for me, prayed for my wife. What happened was God knows what I'm going through. You may never know. But I told you before that if we will walk with God, sometimes God will burden us to pray for somebody, and we don't have any idea what they're going through. And I did call that person back and told them I appreciated them praying. Brenda said, you make sure that you let them know how grateful we are. And I've told that person someday God may give me liberty to share that, and someday he may never give me that liberty. But see, that's part of that abundant reaping. You know what? I'd rather have people pray for me than to give me money. You say, but you need money. I do, but I need prayer. So if you're not going to do it because you just want to do it, because it's a joy, because now listen to this verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I want to give you a demonstration. Some of you are going to think I'm really stupid. But what that verse simply means is this. When we have an opportunity to give, it comes time for whether it's the tithe for the general fund, whether it's a special offering for somebody in need, or it's for missions, we ought to go, woo! I get to give. If it's like this, oh Lord, another offering. I ain't got nothing to give, I'm glad. If you're giving grudgingly, keep it. And I don't mean that ugly. I just mean it truthfully. That's the way I feel. You say, well, you're stupid. I've never heard anybody shout of being able to give. I've talked with people that were not as fortunate as I was or others, and sincerely, with tears running down their face, they would say, I wish I could give more. It's not the amount. It's the act of obedience. You've heard this story before. They were in the midst of a missions conference. They took up Faith Promise. And there was this little boy standing there in the church. He didn't have anything to give. And they said that little boy stood there with his head bowed down. And he was saddened over he didn't have anything to give. When the offering plate came by, he said, can I have the plate? And the usher said, what? He said, can I have it? And he took it. And he laid it in the floor, and he stepped into that plate and said, God, I give you me. He said he didn't have anything to give. So he gave himself and said, God, take me. But if you're not going to do it because you want to see the gospel go out to the world, don't get involved in it. You say, I just don't believe in it. Be that way. But keep it to yourself. Because God's got a plan. I've seen it work. I don't care how many critics are out there. I don't care how many people are against it. I am a living example that it works. And it works because people want the gospel to go out. And I did this and wrote it differently than any of I've ever seen written. I said, I'm giving to send the gospel to all people. We're not just necessarily giving to those 12 families. Sure, it helps them pay their bills. It helps them buy groceries. But if you remember what Brother Blair said today, they did a lot more than just preaching the gospel. Brenda tried today to scan a bunch of pictures on her computer. And we were going to use them one night during the mission conference and let you see what mission money does. People that had nothing, But people gave, and we were able to go preach the gospel. And people were saved by the grace of God. We had the picture of them, the man that I've shared with you and his wife in their 80s before they ever heard the gospel of how to be saved. And they got saved. This is what I've said many times. If you can put a price on a soul, then I want to know what it is. Because to God, God was willing and said, souls are important enough and valuable enough to me for my son to become a sacrifice for sin. I'm going to give him to pay the sin debt. And God gave us a commandment to go into all the world. We can't all go. So God lets us get involved. You saw those, heard from those letters. We thank you for giving. We thank you that through you, we're able to reach people with the gospel. You say, how much should I give? I don't know. I've gotten these, and I'm sure Brother Buck's been in churches that did Faith Promise, that's gotten them, and they may have 25 cents on them. You say, what is 25 cents? Well, it's a dollar a month, dollar and a quarter some months. If it's a dollar a month, $12. You say, that's not a lot. No, but if you get enough quarters, it is. I've had them 25 cents. I was in a mission conference in El Paso, Texas, and this little boy wrote down 5 cents. And his mom and daddy said, he asked us for a nickel every week to give. That's what Faith Promise is. It's not a pledge. It's not a promise to the preacher. And I will guarantee you this, I will not benefit one penny out of it. Nothing. You can ask Brother Buck, every dime that comes into missions goes to him to pay for mission support. We don't use mission money to paint the building. We don't use mission money to buy needs for people. We use mission money strictly for missions. And when we have men come in and preach, we give them an offering. We don't have enough money in missions to do it, so we take it out of general fund. So see, it works together. But as we grow and as people get involved in this, and our mission giving grows, then we'll be able to do more. I asked Brother Buck last Sunday, I said, I want you to keep a complete tab, completely separate, of what it's going to cost, or what it cost us this month for missionaries to bring men in and preach, and what it costs for the missions conference, and taking care of Brother Dennis and Sister Amelia while they're here, feeding them and giving them a love offering. And then I want to show you the cost to get the gospel out. You may say, son, by next Sunday, I don't know what God wants me to give. We're not going to close it up next Sunday. Brother Leroy will be here the first Sunday in September presenting missions. But if it's the middle of September and you're carrying one of these around and you finally say, God told me to do this, you drop it in the offering plate. Don't bring it to me personally, because I don't want to know. And we'll add that. And then, as I said, we have envelopes, and the only reason I wish you to put them in the envelope is so we keep them separate from the general fund. When Brother Buck and those men count the offerings on Sunday morning, everything in missions goes over here. Everything general fund goes over here. They're not mixed. So when missions comes up, it comes out of this fund right here. And when that fund's empty, we don't do anything. But now we're able somewhat to be able to supply with some out of general fund. Because we want to reach the world. We want to be one of those churches that are saying, come, and providing it. Brother Blaylock said last week, some people think preachers can live on air pockets and rabbit tracks. Don't work. A lot of kids today are bitter to the gospel because they've watched their mom and dad do without trying to get the gospel out, while people in the church flourished and were unwilling to help. So hopefully that helped you. You see that it's not a pledge. You'll never be questioned about it. Now, if we took a pledge at the beginning of the year like some churches do, I would give you this piece of paper, and I would have you put your name on it, and it would say, how much are you going to give this year to the church? And we would keep a running tab on it. And come the end of the year, if you hadn't given it, we would knock on your door and ask you to pay your debt. You say that don't happen. Oh, yeah, it does. There's churches that do that. They actually pass out pledge papers the first Sunday of every year. And then toward the end of the year, if they're not paid, they go and knock on your door and say, you owe this much money. And they hold that as a contract. We're not going to do that because I don't believe the Bible teaches that. God teaches us to follow Him and trust Him. And if God tells you to give a penny, put down a penny. God tells you to give zero, just leave the papers alone. But then, remember, you're not involved in the missions unless you're praying, and you can pray for them and still be involved. But just be obedient. God says zero, zero. God says a penny, whatever God tells you. That's what faith promise is. Any questions? Did I explain it well enough? Now it's between you and God. Not between you and the preacher. Between you and God. Okay, let's stand.